right to rule is God's. And no man can rule anything unless it's given to him or her by divine decree. And Jesus said that to Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate got the message. Pontius Pilate agreed with him, because after Jesus said that you don't have any power over me unless it were given to you from above, Pontius Pilate tried again and again and again to free Jesus. And the political world of America, the political world of the world, will try to take the reins of government and will successfully take the reins of government apart from Christ. I wrote an article for the Cleveland Plain Dealer in which I put political Christianity in the time of Christ, and they are protesting against all the unlawfulness going on in that day, the false accusations, the contradicting witnesses, the false arrest, the illegal calling of the Sanhedrin. And in my article, in my essay, in my fantasy, politically minded Christendom of today was placed in that day, and they organized. Because as our Lord is standing before Pilate in the accounts, he says, if my kingdom were of this world, my supporters would be rallying around me. But instead, they're nowhere to be found because my kingdom is not of this world. But in my essay, the politically minded Christians are there, and they believe his kingdom is of this current arrangement, this current world, that he can somehow coexist with the way things are. That the things I told you last week of displacement, of governments being radically altered, not gradually replaced. People think that can be done. People think it should be done, as though it could, but it can't be. But the Christian army, those who are politically disposed in the Lord's day, they believe that Christ can be managed, and that he can be successfully integrated with the system the way it is. And that they, joining hands with large bullhorns, can bring Jesus Christ to a successful conclusion in this system without destroying the system. He can work with the system. He can cross the aisle, join hands with everyone, join hands with all religions, the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Christians, all joined together, the Hindus, hand in hand, every race, every nation, together, joined. This is the dream of Christianity. And if only Jesus were politically minded, they could convince him to take the reins of such a world where we all live as one, and where the bloodshed, the killing, the unnecessary traumas and trials and clashes and conflicts would not have to exist. We can live in peace. We can make the earth green for Jesus, and Jesus will lead the way. And in my essay, the Christians rally. They're organized. They have signs. They have bullhorns, and they show up at the Fortress Antonia as Jesus appears before Pilate. And of course, everything is wrong about the arrest. And they point this out. And we know in the accounts that the high priests have stacked the audience, stacked the crowd with their own people. And they cry out for the release of a criminal and for the conviction of Jesus Christ. But they did not reckon with the Christian force. They did not know the righteous zeal that was existent in the Christian force. And so the Christian force, with their bullhorns and their organizations and their unity, they outshout the opposition, and they pressure Pilate. They force him to release Jesus Christ, because they're all wise, you see, and they know that God would never do anything evil. He would never do anything that would appear to humans to be unjust, because God has to think like we do. And this is not so far-fetched, because when our Lord multiplied the loaves and the fishes, they immediately wanted to take him into Jerusalem and make him king, because he was provider of bread, provider of what their soul longed for. And if he was just managed correctly, if he just had a good PR person and a good finances, sound finances, and if he could just avoid being seen with the wrong people, such as the tax collectors and the prostitutes, then he could get somewhere. But he has to be managed. And the people know how to manage him. And the Christian force of protest, the Christian soldiers at the Fortress Antonia, they knew what to do. They knew what the right thing was. And so they successfully lobbied, marched, protested, and they freed Jesus Christ. What wisdom. They freed Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ ends up dying a natural death after a renewed carpenter career. Very, very happy story. That's how my story would go if I was running it. That's my wisdom. That's my knowledge. And the great cry of today, of course, is democracy. People want to be ruled by themselves, by the people, the rule of the people. And it's a great concept if people knew, if people gave place to God. But as Paul paints a picture in Romans chapter 1, knowing God, not God did they glorify or thank him, then such people who do not glorify God are then given over to dishonorable passions. And we think, of course, the common stock Christian sins of homosexuality, idolatry, greed, and all these things happen. But the worst sin people are given up to do not recognize God's sovereignty. And ironically enough, in God we trust is on our money. But it's all a farce. It's all a sham, because we don't trust God as a country. Trusting God comes down to individuals who are moved upon by God. And anyone who has a legitimate move of God upon them will not give lip service to the honor of God. Because that's all it is. It's lip service. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That was Jesus' indictment of his generation. They honor me, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I don't see any difference between that day and this. We have a people who honor him with their lips, and they even print their trust of him on their money. And I'm reminded of the saying of the Jews, all that the Lord has said, we will do. And today in the United States, the U.S. flag is waved with In God We Trust. And this will become not only a national cry, but a world cry. And they will claim they will do lip service to a trust in God. But because they don't trust him, because it's a sham, because it's a fake, because it's feigned, then God will give them over to dishonorable passions. And one of the most dishonorable passions is to long for a righteous government in the name of God that's brought about apart from God, but rather by human sentiment. And we know when Paul was in Athens, he noted all the religious icons and the statuary, and he equated it to human sentiment and human passion. And God hates idols because people attempt to fashion idols into their image of God. And if they don't do this with marble, or they don't do it with stone, then they do it with teachings. They do it with doctrines. They do it in churches. And they do it in with political movements. But it's all the same. It's all the same if we trace it and its roots back to first century Judaism, honoring him with their lips, with their hearts far from him. These are the people that rallied under the banner, We the People. And while the United States of America has done great good in the world, we can say that of any philanthropist, of any atheistic philanthropist, can't we? And the worst evil, as you know, is that which poses as deity, that which disguises itself as light and righteousness, and that which will gather to itself whatever it wants to hear. It will gather teachers in accord with its own desires, who will tell it what tickles its hearing, and which inevitably involves the human pride. And I know that most people vote for their pocketbook. They vote for the politician who will give them the most. And they will not vote for anyone who will lay them in the dust, give them less than a chicken per pot, less than a two-car garage. But we are of another world. We are of the world of the Son of God as he stood before Pilate, beaten, manacled, humiliated, saying to Pilate that I know who put you in power, my Father, and I know that my kingdom is not in this world, because if it was, then that the world would be lauding me rather than calling for my death. So, are you going to be treated any different than your Lord? No. You're going to be treated the same. And so why would you participate in the politics of the world? Because these politics of the world, whether a democracy or a republic, even a dictatorship, they're all going to go bad, just some at faster rates than others. The world's flaws can be summed up, and they are so, simply by Paul in Romans 1, another classic example of God downplaying a momentous statement, as he does in Genesis, and he makes the stars also. That's how God describes his creation of outer space, and he made the stars. And this is how God describes, through Paul, the problem with the people. As a mass, as a conglomerate, it is this: knowing God, not as God, do they glorify or thank him. And that's Romans chapter 1. That is the sin of humanity. Knowing God, because no one is without excuse. Because God can be seen in the ants, in the plants, in the rings of Saturn, in the stars, in the rising and setting of the sun. But not as God do they glorify or thank him, because vain, that is useless, were they made in their reasonings, and darkened is their unintelligent heart. And they end up with every form of idolatry, worshiping the creature rather than the creator, which is idolatry, giving the creature the power to derail the creator's whim. The most primitive tribes of the world have done this, worshiping the sun rather than the creator of the sun, fearing the creator of the sun, offering sacrifices to the creator of the sun. And today, nothing's changed. You think this is not happening in Christianity? Oh, but it is, because the fear is the same. Because darkened is their unintelligent heart, they do not see into the heart of God through Christ. And they adore him, praise him, and worship him with their lips, as always, but their heart's far from him. And we, to be saved from this crooked generation, are to be removed, not in part, but in whole, from the systems of this world, which will attempt an ever-increasing measure to usurp the place of God in Christ.